encourage us. It's not only to strengthen our heart, it should. It ought to make our faith soar mountain high, as one preacher said, knowing how much he loves us. But that love is also an example to me and an example to you on how we should love other people. See, we're to love others as Christ has loved us. As husbands, we're to love our wives as Christ has loved the church. And so we receive that love and we receive that mercy and we receive that forgiveness. But also we learn of it. We learn of that love. We learn the principles behind it. We learn how he loves so that we can effectively bless and love other people. There's a scripture, go over, if you will, to the book of Matthew. There's a scripture here. We're going to go on a little rabbit trail, and then we might get to my message. We'll see. But we're going to go on a little rabbit trail and have some fun this morning. That's one of the things about this church. You never know what you're going to get. So let's go over here to Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to look here. Well, we'll start off in verse 1. It says in the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 1, "And seeing the multitudes," this is talking about Jesus, "he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," wouldn't you love to have been there? I mean, Jesus sits down on a mountain and opens up his mouth and just starts talking and teaching. This is what he says. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers." Blessed are the peacemakers, the makers of peace, "for they shall be called the children of God." There's a scripture. Well, in fact, let's go over and look at it. Job. Book of Job. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers." There'll be a time in your life, a time in mine, where we all need mercy. Isn't that right? Have you ever missed it? I thought I was perfect, and then I got married and found out I wasn't. No, we've all missed it. You missed it, I've missed it. And when we miss it, we need mercy. Sometimes when people think missing it, they think, you know, sin or whatnot. But no, you can miss it financially. You can think things are going to work out one way, throw a lot of money at it financially and miss it. Need mercy. There's financial mercy. You can do other things and try to make a decision for your family and miss it. Take your family down a road that, you know, you shouldn't have gone in. Maybe it was moving to a city or whatever. You need mercy. Well, where does mercy come from? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers. God loves us. That love we are to receive of, that love we are to accept, that love we are to dwell in, revel in, rejoice in. But that love is also there to teach us, teach you, to teach me. We're not to love as the world loves. We are to love as Christ has loved us. That's the standard. That's the standard for you, and that's the standard for me. So while we're receiving that love, we're also learning from that love. Does that make sense? One of the things that God has in abundance towards us is mercy. Isn't that right? Think about how many times you missed it. Or don't even think about that. Think about how many times you missed it in the same area that you said you'd never miss it again in. Isn't that right? Well, what happened when you went to the Lord? What did you get? You got mercy. Oh, isn't that wonderful to know we can go, and even when we've missed it, we can have righteousness because of what Jesus did on the cross, and go, and His blood cleanses us from all of our mistakes. We can admit it and receive that mercy. It's wonderful. There's nothing quite like it in the world. It's pure love. See, because that love, it's sacrificial. Does that make sense? It's not just love like the world loves of I like you, you've been nice to me, so therefore I love you. It's we miss it blatantly sometimes. I mean miss it bad. But it's a sacrifice. His sacrifice of love towards us. While we were yet sinners, He loved us. We're to receive that love. We're to revel in that love. We're to bask in that love. But we're also to learn of it. We're to learn that how He loves me is how I'm to love others. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers, the makers of peace. They're blessed. They're blessed. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow to it. There's a blessing that can come on your life by being a peacemaker. A maker of peace. There's a blessing that's designed to come on your life when you're merciful, when you show and give mercy. In Job chapter 17 and verse 9, there's a scripture. I preached on it on Wednesday nights, but I tell you what, I can't get away from it. Job 17 and verse 9, you shouldn't be able to either because the principle in it is phenomenal. Job chapter 17 and verse 9, it says, the righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be, will be, stronger and stronger. I don't know about you, but I want to be stronger and stronger. I want my relationship with my kids to get stronger and stronger. I want to be stronger and stronger in influence. Stronger and stronger in my calling and my anointing and my giftings. I want my health to get stronger and stronger. I want the quality of my life to get better and better, stronger and stronger. Well, what's an avenue to get there? What's a way to get there? He who has clean hands shall grow stronger and stronger. The opposite of clean hands is found in the book of Psalms. It's called bloody and deceitful hands. It's also known as a fighting spirit. Saul had one, David had one at the end of his life, and it kept him from doing some of the things he longed to do. David longed to build the temple for his God, but he couldn't. God came to him and said, you got too much blood on your hands. You've been through too many wars. It restricted David from doing some of the things David desired to do because of the fighting he had had in life. Blessed are the peacemakers. There's a blessing that comes with a maker of peace. Blessed are the merciful. There's a blessing that comes on people who show and give mercy. Clean hands makes a decision to forgive. Clean hands makes a decision to show mercy to people who have wronged us. Clean hands chooses to be the first to admit, I may have missed it. Even when in your heart you think, maybe I didn't. In fact, you may know that you didn't. But for the sake of peace, you'll make it. You'll make it work. You'll admit mistakes. Why? You know there's a blessing that's tied to it. See, there are things that God honors. There are things that flat out please Him. There are things that He rewards. In fact, it tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that he who comes to God, we ought to believe that He is a rewarder. So God hands out rewards. God hands out rewards. There are rewards. Well, where do these rewards come from? I'll show you one. Go back to Matthew. I should have told you to hold your place there. Matthew chapter 5, there are rewards. God is a rewarder. Well, who gets the rewards? If God is a rewarder, He probably rewards pretty well. Who gets them? Who gets the rewards? Well, let's look here. Matthew chapter 5. And let's look here in verse 43. I'm not teaching out of notes. I don't have any notes for this particular message. We're preaching from inspiration. As I learn, up here, you're going to learn sitting there. Matthew chapter 5, and let's look here in verse 43. It says, you have heard. Now, all throughout the book of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is renewing these people's minds. He's saying, you've heard it can be done this way, but now I say unto you. Basically, when you're preaching, you're doing one of three things. Either one, you're building or establishing a new belief. There's some people, they've never heard what we're teaching, and so they come in here and they hear these types of things, and you're establishing a new belief in their heart. That's a wonderful thing. A new belief can bring in new increase. Secondly, you're establishing or confirming an old belief. There's a belief there, like for instance, for the first two services, we preached on confession. Faith. We teach on that a lot here. The just shall live by it, so we ought to know how to walk in it. We teach on that a lot. And so if you go to church here a lot, then you probably already know a lot of the things I preached this morning. But we also must be doers of the word and not hearers of it only. So we'll preach on things that we need to do, even though we know to do them, so that we can do them more. See, in hearing a lot of something, it makes it safe. Because you not just know to confess, but the more you hear it, you're reminded to do it. So secondly, you're establishing or confirming an old belief. Or third, you're tearing out an old belief and replacing it with a new one. Like, for instance, there are people who don't believe in healing. Well, if you come to this church, we do believe in it. And not because based off of an experience. You never judge beliefs based off of experience when it comes from God. People say, well, you know, healing can't be for everyone because I know Sister Sally died and she was a good person. So if healing was for everyone, surely Sally would have got it. Not true. You don't judge healing based off of experience. You judge your beliefs based off of the Word of God, right? So you can have experiences that go one way or the other, but God's Word is eternal. It never changes. And you see very clearly through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the entire New Testament, Jesus and God is a healer. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So anyway, you can see with a subject like that, people could come in here, hear a message on healing, and the whole time they're hearing it, it's warring with an old belief. There's an old belief there, and through words you're trying to get out that old belief that they can be healed, that it is for everyone, and replace it with a new belief. Does that make sense? So Jesus here is talking to people who are very well versed in life and in the law. And He's trying to tear out an old belief. You've heard it this way, but now I say that's not really the way it is. This is the way it should be. And friends, He starts talking about a subject that we all better pay attention to, because the world's got one way to deal with this subject, but God's got a whole different way. And so when we read this, we need to be cognizant of the fact that our brains may go tilt because we've got an old belief there that the world's given us, and God's saying, they've told it to you this way, but that's not the truth. I'm telling you a new and living way. And watch what He says here, this belief that He's about to tear out. Verse 38, Matthew 5, verse 38, He says, you have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You hurt me, I'll hurt you. You want to hit me, I'll hit you. But, you got to get your butt in the right place, as Brother Dean would say. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that ask of thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. You have heard that it hath been said, once again, He's talking about their old belief, but He wants to give them a new one. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor. And He's not talking about your next door neighbor. He's talking about your people you come in contact with, people in close proximity of you. And hate your enemy. So you love this person, but this person over here, you don't care for. Why? They wronged you. Yeah, they did something to you. An enemy. They're out to get you. So he said, you've heard, you love the people who like you. But then there are other people who don't like you. You just don't need to even look at them. Don't even go over their butt. He said, that's an old belief. I'm going to give you a new one. But I say unto you, don't just like your enemies. Love them. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That you may be the children of your Father. Who's your Father? Your Father's God. How does your Father love? Unconditionally. I was in a store the other day. The lady who was helping us said, Boston came walking up, my son. She said, he looks just like you. I said, I appreciate that. He is handsome, isn't he? But see, he's my child. And so there ought to be some resemblance there. Right? Notice what it says here, that you may be the children of your Father. What he's talking there is that you may look like him. You may act like him. You may be the children of your Father. Your God is a Father of love. He is love. You can't separate God from love. He is love. He's not like love. He is love. And he's loved us with mercy. When we were warring, he's made peace. When we missed it, he picked us up. When some people blatantly persecuted him on the cross, he looked down and said, they know not what they do. Forgive them, Lord. With love. And watch what he says here. He says, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what, here's the key word, reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now Hebrews chapter 11 tells us God is a rewarder. In fact, when you go to God, you better believe he is a rewarder. Those that diligently seek him. So there are things in life that God's rewarding. He is a rewarder. That's what rewarders do. They reward. And here he tells us that if we love those who love us, there's no reward to that. Because any sinner can do that. It gives the implication that when we love those who don't love us, when we love those who hurt us, despitefully use us and abuse us, there's a reward to it. Blessed, blessed, blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers, the makers and maintainers of peace, one translation says. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Friends, there's a blessing that can come on your life that increases everything in your life without adding any sorrow to you. It's out there. It maketh rich. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. Love is so much more important than what we can understand. And Jesus is saying here that when we are being hurt, the response that is to be given to the people who are hurting us is not vengeance. It's mercy. That when we are being hurt, the response that we are to have to the people who are hurting us is not neglect. It is a maker of peace. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5, you don't even have to turn to a different chapter. Notice what he says in verse 21. You have heard that it was said of them of old, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, that just simply means to be violent in your opposition to someone, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, no, watch this in verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring your gift to the altar, he's talking about tithes and offerings, giving, and there rememberest, meaning you remember, that thy brother has an ought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, and first, highlight that word first, or underline it, circle it, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. He says, this doesn't do any good to offer the gift. It doesn't do any good to give it. If when you're giving it, you remember you've got offense towards someone, or they have offense to you. He says, first, go over there and make peace. Then come back and offer your gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is just as strong. You ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great love chapter? Tells us we can speak with the tongues of men and angels, but if we have not love, it's worthless. We could prophesy. We could have the gifts of the Spirit in manifestation in our life. We could have all the faith that we could move a mountain, but if I have not love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells me I'm useless. One translation says a useless nobody. It says you could give all that you had to the poor. In fact, you could give your body to be burned. But if you weren't walking in love, none of that giving profited you anything. Think about that. Could that be a reason why the prosperity message is being preached and people are giving like never before, but they still haven't seen a reward based off their giving? Could it be because this love issue is still not being dealt with? There is a tangible force of love, and the force of love that God has shown us is for us to revel in and enjoy and receive and accept, but it's also there for us to learn how to be good to others. When you keep those hands clean and you're walking in love, it sets you up to only grow stronger and stronger. The opposite of stronger and stronger is weaker and weaker. And if anything's getting weaker and weaker in life, that'd be the first area I checked up in. Are my hands clean? I'm telling you, friends, I'm telling you, the thing that will cure the society and the ills of any nation or any home or any business is love. Love's wired by God and powered by Him to never fail. Clean hands. Merciful. When people make mistakes, we show mercy. When people have wronged us, we show mercy. When people have hurt us, we show mercy. When people talk about us and other people come up and say, "Did you hear what so-and-so said?" "No, I didn't. What'd they say?" And they tell you and it hurts you. You say, "Oh, they didn't mean it. They were probably just tired." Make excuses for them. What are you doing? Mercy. Mercy. Keeping your hands clean. "Well, what do you think of Sister so-and-so doing that, saying that?" "I don't think about it. I'm doing my best not to think about it." "You don't have an opinion on it?" "I'm sure somewhere I could probably find one, but I'm not going to voice it." What'd you just do? Did you help put out the fire or help increase it? You helped put it out. Well, what is that? You're making peace. What does that get you? Blessed. Mercy. There's a story in the Old Testament that I really do enjoy because it's so relevant to us today. We'll close with this. Go over the book of Genesis. You guys are listening so good. I'm having fun. You know, with the other two services, I get to preach what I learned. But with this one, I'm learning with you. Genesis. Let's look at chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 20. Noah, we've talked about him a little bit on our Wednesday nights. He is a good man. I mean, you got to think, in Noah's generation, it talks about how in Noah's generation, Every thought of man was evil towards God. I mean, every thought, not every action, every thought that men on the earth that day were thinking was evil. But there was one man who shone as a light in that darkness. He was an upright, good man. His name was Noah. And God picked Noah because Noah was living right, living godly, living clean, all the right things he was doing in the midst of a perverse generation. And God picked him and, you know, saved him, told him to build an ark, and his whole family was saved. So Noah's a good man. This is not a man who's full of mistakes. This is not a man whose character's bent. He's a good man, but this man makes a mistake. He makes a mistake. And watch what happens here in Genesis 9 and verse 20. And Noah began to be a husbandman. And what this basically means is Noah starts gardening. He starts putting together a garden to plant things. And he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. Noah got drunk. He got drunk and was uncovered in his tent. Not only did he get drunk, but some way or another, he managed to not have any clothes on. And his drunken state. He was passed out in his tent. Noah was a good man who made a mistake. Now, the story doesn't end there. People found out about it. Noah, this man who God saved because every other person was wicked, did a wicked thing. How many of you know there's a difference between lying and being a liar? There's a difference between swimming and being a swimmer, between golfing and being a golfer. A golfer is someone who genuinely makes his living off of golfing. You may swim, but are you Michael Phelps? He's a swimmer. He's a professional swimmer. Noah sinned, but he wasn't a bad man. This wasn't in his nature. This wasn't common. Someone found out about it. In fact, it was his boys. Verse 22, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. So he saw Noah's fault. He saw Noah drunk, passed out naked in his tent. And watch what he does. He saw someone in sin. And watch what he did. And told his two brethren. So, and we're learning from this what not to do. He sees this sin. Immediately he goes and starts talking about it. What do we do when we see other people's mistakes? This fella saw one and told people about it. In fact, it was the first two people he saw. This was a mistake. See, Noah sinned against himself by getting drunk. He sinned against his body. But his son sinned against not only himself, but sinned against Noah too. Through judgment and ridicule. This is not good. He who has clean hands gets stronger and stronger. He who has dirty hands thereby gets weaker and weaker. He who makes peace is blessed. What's the opposite of blessed? He who is merciful gets mercy. He's blessed. Blessed are the merciful. What's the opposite of blessed? So here we see his son. He makes a mistake. And he starts talking about Noah. And watch what happens here in verse 23. We're about to learn what to do. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward and they saw not their father's nakedness. What did they do here? They honored. They showed mercy. Notice, these two boys hear from the other boy, Noah's gotten drunk and he's naked. And they take a garment between them. It'd be like, you know, someone else coming up here next to me. We take off my coat and we hold it in between us and walk backwards. They walk backwards into the cave. So they don't want to see it. They don't even want to see. Have you ever noticed, like on an interstate, traffic will back up and you think there's a really bad wreck, but then you realize it's not a really bad wreck. It's just everybody on your side of the road is looking at the bad wreck on the other side of the road, and it's slowing down traffic significantly, even though there's no wreck on your side. That's what sin does. See, a traffic wreck, someone sinning really bad, can be on one side, but then other people get so caught up with them, their focus is on that, and all they're doing is looking and judging the other people's wrongs, and little do they realize what they're slowing down too. They're not making progress either. And so these boys make a decision. We don't even want to see it. We don't want to hear about it. We don't want to see it. We don't remember him this way. So they take the robe and the garment, hold it in between, and walk backwards where they don't even look at the nakedness of their father. I don't know how they knew where he was. Maybe they felt their feet brush up against him. And they just lay the garment on top of him and walk out of the cave. What did they just have? Mercy. They just showed mercy. What happens to those who show mercy? They get blessed. There's rewards. They get stronger and stronger. And watch what happens here. And Noah, verse 24, awoke from his wine and knew that his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan. The servant of servants shall be he unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Notice there were some people at the end of this who got blessed. There was someone else who didn't. I don't know about you, but I'll take all the blessing I can get. The difference between the two boys. One saw it, immediately reacted, and went and told as many people as he could about it. Didn't realize it, but he was falling in judgment himself and sinning against not only himself, but also his father. The other boys, when they immediately heard it, they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to see it. They didn't want to recognize it. They just wanted to cover it up. Love covers a multitude of sins. The two who did that got blessed. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the makers of peace. The one who didn't get blessed. In fact, he got the polar opposite of it. Love's not taught enough. Just not taught enough. Our minds ought to be so renewed to love that it's like breathing. Showing mercy is just like breathing, because it is the nature of our Father God. Friend, I want to encourage you. Revel in the love that God has for you. Revel in it. Receive it. When you miss it, run to Him and get that mercy. And when you're getting it, and when it feels so good because you know you're being forgiven and you know He's been patient with you, and you're feeling all of that, remember that's how you're supposed to love everyone in your life. Learn from it. Don't just revel in it. Learn from it. And when you learn from it, start showing mercy. Go out and make peace. If you're like the guy in Matthew chapter 5 who knows you have aught against someone, go be a maker of peace. Then come back and give. But see, that love's got to be the foundation of everything else. And if it's not, there's no sense in trying to build anything on top of a foundation that's not strong. Love. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Oh, how He loves us. And oh, how we ought to love the brethren. They'll know us by our love. We ought to be famous for it. In fact, Word of Lifeans, we ought to be known as people of love. We ought to go into a shopping center and pay for the person behind us and them say, you must go to Word of Life. Come on now. We ought to be sitting at a stoplight and have someone not paying attention, and we pull up beside them and pray for them and just wave at them and say, God bless you. They say, they must go to Word of Life, even before they see the sticker. We ought to be famous for it. We ought to be famous for it. And friend, I'm telling you, if you are, if I am, if we are, this place, you, me, we're only destined to get stronger and stronger. See, when